Our words this morning actually come to us from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. We got a little misprint there in the bulletin. I didn't change it from last week, so I do apologize for that. There's Matthew 6, 19 through 21. And our sermon today, as we continue the hard topics in Christianity, is that of addiction. So let your hearts now be prepared to receive these words. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I say that again. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the word of God for God's people. Thanks be to God. Where your treasure is. We see it there in the scripture. Where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Think about those words just for a moment. Where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Whatever you place the greatest importance on here, on this earth, or in while you're here on this earth, that becomes the treasure, and that's where your heart will be. And it doesn't matter what it is. I mean, if you place more importance on a certain thing, a certain habit, a certain possession, a certain task than anything else, then that's where your heart will be. Your heart will be away from God, heading in the wrong direction. Instead of coming closer to God as we desire, if we have a treasure here on this earth and our focus is there, we're heading in that wrong direction because that's not what God desires. The sight of God will become far off in the distance because your focus is on the treasure that you have claimed as your own rather than the treasures that He has in store for us and the grace and mercy that He has in store for us. We have chosen our own reward and dumped our whole being into that reward. So we're heading off in the wrong direction. We can't see clearly because our focus has changed. And then that treasure may indeed start to take the form of an idol, to where our focus, our interest, our importance in life, they all revolve around this thing. They all revolve around this treasure. And we know the countless stories in the scriptures of idol worship and what it did and how it tore people apart and tore apart societies and tore apart communities and lives. But when this treasure becomes so important that it becomes our God, our focus of worship, our focus of attention, well, brothers and sisters, that's when this point, this treasure, this idol, that's when we name it addiction. Today we continue the sermon series on the hard topics about being a Christian as we look into addiction. Dr. Gerald May, and if you're interested in learning more about addiction, I cannot recommend this book enough, and I don't do this often, but Addiction and Grace by Dr. Gerald May. And he is a psychiatrist. And he started out his career in psychiatry thinking that he could help everybody, fix everybody's problems. And he was a deeply spiritual man, Methodist lay member, Methodist lay leader, very prominent in the Methodist church. But through his education only, he thought he could fix everybody. And he soon found out different. And he explores that process in his book called Addiction and Grace. But what he says about addiction is this. He says major addiction is the sacred disease of our time. Major addiction is the sacred disease of our time. And we simply only need to look around, not far from us, to see the hurt, the brokenness, the suffering, the broken home, shattered relationships, lost employment because of addiction. Indeed, it is a here and now problem. that we often try to keep hidden in the shadows. Or we try to look around it and we pretend like it's not there. But it's a problem that affects those people that we love. It affects those people that we serve with. And it affects those people that we attempt to minister to. We try to pretend that it will never happen to us. And we live like it will never happen to our children. Maybe somebody else's children, but never our children. It's not going to happen. And my bet today is that every person in here knows someone who has struggled with an addiction, or perhaps one of you have even experienced it firsthand. One of the interesting points that Dr. May makes in his book is that just about every person has experienced an addiction of some type, regardless of what you want to label it. Because an addiction can be anything. Of course, when we talk about addiction, we automatically go to those bad addictions, to the drugs, the street drugs, the alcohol, those bad addictions that everybody talks about. And we kind of lose sight of the other things that can be called addiction. But what I ask you to do today is this. Remember that an addiction can be anything. Anything that we give ourselves over to that takes us in a direction that we really do not want to go. An addiction can be anything. It can be an alcohol. It can be a street drug. But it can also be over-the-counter medicines. It can be prescription medications. That addiction may be pornography. It might be gambling or spending money. Or maybe it's some self-destructing behavior like cutting or self-mutilation. Maybe it's arson or dieting or chocolate. And yeah, there's really addictions to chocolate. Or maybe it's working or immersing yourself so much in a relationship that you have time for nothing else. Each of these things and a host of other things can be labeled addiction. And the point is this. The point is that anything that places our importance in a place where it should not be, whether intended or not, is called an addiction. And addictions eventually lead or may lead to lying and deceit or stealing or secretiveness or a loss of self-worth. You see, the object of our addiction becomes our God. Because that's where our focus quickly transitions to. You know, life would be great if we could remain totally focused on consistently living for the love of God, living for God in our life, and always having Him as the object of our desires, the object of our treasure. But the problem is that this world intervenes, and this world has other things to offer up in forms of temptation, having us lulled into a sense of security that, oh, this is okay because the doctor prescribes it, or this is okay because I can buy it at Walmart, or this is okay because my friends are doing it. But the problem is when we fall prey to those temptations, then our energy and our very being can be changed by forces that do not reciprocate love. When we love God, our God loves us. Well, He loves us no matter what. And when we love other people, they typically love us. But when we love an object or love an addiction, it don't love back, it only hurts. Addiction causes us to turn away from the love of God that He has in store for us. It causes us to turn away from the love of others that they have planned for us. And it even causes us not to love ourselves because this pattern of self-destructing behavior. Addictions make us do what we do not want to do, and to become who we do not want to be. And the very chains of these addictions may eat away at our self-dignity and take away our free will that we receive as a blessing. So where then might our help come from? Of course we know our help comes from God. We know that when we hear the scriptures, we turn our eyes to see where our help comes from. Dr. Gerald May, I told you about his practice And what he soon learned was the most effective approach to helping people was observed when the internal spiritual self was connected with healing. Essentially, faith in our Almighty God, believing in God, believing in the power of God, is of paramount importance in the healing process. And in the midst of addiction, God's grace can be found for those who are earnestly looking and seeking to change. And clearly, to us who are here today, God's grace is the only real hope in the face of addiction. But we have to be ready to receive that grace. And sometimes that fall might be pretty hard before someone's ready to receive that grace. St. Augustine the Great said, God's always trying to give us good things. God is always trying to give us good things, but our hands are often too full to receive them. Think about it. God's trying to give us good things. He's trying to pour out His grace on us, but our hands are sometimes too full to receive those things. You see, addiction fills up a space within us, may keep us too occupied to receive God's grace, because it causes that shift and balance in our life. So where then is it that we stand? Where do we stand in the face of addiction? Where do we stand as deliverers or moderators or facilitators for that grace? Well, we know that our United Methodist Book of Discipline, and you've got the whole excerpt there in your bulletin, it summarizes our view and our approach to addiction. We believe that drug-dependent persons and their family members, including those who are assessed or diagnosed as dependent on alcohol, that they are individuals of infinite human worth, deserving of treatment, rehabilitation, and ongoing life-changing recovery. We commit ourselves to assisting those who suffer from abuse or dependence and their families in finding freedom through Jesus Christ and in finding good opportunities for treatment, for ongoing counseling, and for reintegration into society. Brothers and sisters, we cannot force change, and we cannot be judgmental in the way that we approach those who suffer from addictions. Because I believe you would be very surprised at what you find where some people have placed their treasure. But if we are judgmental, and if we force change, then we are only going to serve to push the addicted away from their greatest source of hope and their greatest source of healing. We cannot begin a conversation with the addicted by saying, you're wrong, and you must change before you can come to church. You need to change and get right and get into church. How many have ever heard that? Change, get right, get into church. Well, there's something wrong with that order there. Change, get right, and get into church. Well, the change comes about after we have had the experience with God and Christ. And we get into church and we see that there is an alternative. So what we must be is we must be loving. We must be kind. We must be welcoming. We must invite people to church who struggle with these demons in their life. Because if they are to indeed have that opportunity to change, it will be because they're in church. And they're surrounded by the body of Christ. They have a chance to experience the risen Savior in new ways, to encounter the living Word, and to find a support network of people who truly desire to love in a non-judgmental way. What we are tasked with doing, and this can be a challenge, we are tasked with offering love and connecting people to God's grace. That's part of what being a disciple is. Because today we are the disciples of Christ. And part of being a disciple is offering the love of Christ in an unconditional way and connecting people with God's grace. We must help others come to terms in Christ's love and help them to see those addictions nailed to the cross. Because Christ not only died for me, Christ not only died for you, Christ died for every person. And those addictions can be put back to that cross. For Christ died that our sins would be forgiven, that we might be redeemed, and that we might have a promise of an everlasting life. So today, brothers and sisters, I mentioned earlier about these palm leaves. If you have some burden or worry or sin in your life, or perhaps some addiction in your life, then imagine that these palm leaves hold those sins and addictions that burden you. Or maybe you know somebody else that struggles with an addiction. Then pray here in a few moments. Pray here in a few moments and leave those addictions of that person with these palms. Bring them forward, place them on the altar during our closing hymn, and trust that God will intervene. Praise be to God. Grace and peace to all of you.